Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'm glad you could join us for our program today. For the last few weeks, I've been preaching through the book of Romans chapter 6, and I want to conclude that today with this subject, the heart of faith. The heart of faith. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has been talking about the believer's union with Christ, and I've spoken about that much because the foundation, the ground of salvation, all of salvation, all of its blessings, all of its benefits, even unto final glory, is all founded upon a sinner's union with Christ. Eternally, before the foundation of the world, in electing grace, God chose a people, gave them to Christ. Christ is their representative. Christ is their surety. All of their sins were charged to Him. He became accountable, responsible for the debt of their sins. Christ, their union with Christ as He is their substitute, the substitute who came to this earth and was made, as the Scripture says, like unto His brethren, without sin. And that speaks of His incarnation. The Apostle John spoke of it this way in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, unto us a child is born. That's the humanity of Christ. Unto us a son is given. That's the deity of Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And I love Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 and 23, where it talks about the angel speaking to Joseph about Mary, telling him not to put her away. And then he told Joseph, he said, the child's name, his name shall be called Jesus. That's the New Testament equivalent of Yeshua, Joshua, which means salvation, or Jehovah is salvation. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And then His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So as our substitute, as the substitute of His people, the substitute of God's elect, the substitute of His church, the called out, the redeemed ones, the called out ones, the church which He purchased with His own blood, as the substitute for His sheep, the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. And that's who He died for. Not all without exception, but His sheep. He substituted Himself. He obeyed the law and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in that substitutionary work, He satisfied the justice of God. He put away the sins of His people. He paid their debt in full. And He established a righteousness that enables God to be both a just God and a Savior, both a righteous judge as well as a loving Father. And that's the heart of the gospel. That's the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so Christ, that's the union with Christ. Now, based upon that, a true believer, one who has been brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to repentance of sin, repentance of dead works, repentance of idolatry, one in who's been given a new heart, that's the heart of faith, a new spirit, new life within, one in whom the Holy Spirit indwells permanently, it can be said of them in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, I dealt with that last week, but just think about it now. The dominion of sin. He says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Well, what does that mean? Well, that doesn't mean that a believer is one who never sins. We still sin. It doesn't mean that a believer is free from the dominion of free from the influence of sin, free from the contamination of sin. To be out from under the dominion of sin means that we can no longer be condemned for sin. For who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, is risen again, righteousness established, who is seated at the right hand, whoever lives, to make intercession for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. That's pleading the merits of his blood and righteousness. We're not under the dominion of sin in the sense that we're not deceived by sin that kept us in unbelief. I love that passage in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 where it talks about Satan's main goal. Verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into their hearts." That's the devil's work, you see. That Satan, listen, people are so, they're so confused. They so misunderstand the works of Satan. Satan doesn't mind if you get religion, if you join a church or anything like that as far as religious ceremonies, as long as he can keep you deceived, ignorant, or in opposition to the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ Jesus. And there in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, when he describes what happens within a believer by the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, "God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give unto us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You see, that's salvation. That's the new birth. That's salvation as applied spiritually to a sinner by the Holy Spirit. So we're not under law. To be under the law is to be under the curse. To be under the law is to be condemned. We're under grace, we who know Christ. And grace reigns through righteousness. God will not charge me with my sins because he charged them to Christ. And if he won't charge me with sin, that means he charges me with righteousness, and I cannot be condemned. So verse 15 says, "What then?" Now, what do we say about that? What is our conclusion? How are we to react against such glorious truths? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Do you see that? Now, that's, Paul had already dealt with that. You know, he started off in Romans 6, 1, talking about what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And unbelievers react to the truth of the magnitude and majesty and depth of God's grace to save his people from all sin, the worst sins, the depth of sin. Remember he said back up in verse 20 of chapter 5, where sin abounded. That it means literally overflowing me like a flood. Grace doth much more abound. Do you know, now listen to what I'm saying. Do you know that a person who refuses to come to Christ for salvation because that person thinks he is too sinful to be saved, that is just as much unbelief and self-righteousness as the same as a person who thinks that they're saved by their works. You say, "Oh, God can't save me. I'm too sinful." No, no, no. You don't believe God. You don't believe Christ. You don't believe, as Paul wrote, that he is able, Christ is able, to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. I'm telling you, there's no way that a sinner can out-sin the grace of God. You say, "Well, where's there any hope for such a sinner?" Same hope for any of us. That's the grace of God in Christ. He died for my sins. How many sins? A multitude of sins. I can't count them. David said in his prayer, "Forgive me my secret sins." Those are sins that I don't even know I've committed. Sins of commission, sins of omission. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That's not all without exception now. That's his people. All who are brought to faith in Jesus Christ. So shall we sin that grace may abound? No. Verse 16. Now look at Romans 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. In other words, if your attitude towards sin, if you claim to be a believer, you claim to be a child of God, if your attitude towards sin is just, well, it doesn't matter what I do, well, you're a servant of sin. And that's a servant of sin unto death. That's an unbeliever. That's a person who has not been born again by the Spirit of God. And you could go all the way back on all the realms of salvation. That person was, a person who believes, who thinks that way, and who continues that way unto death and dies in unbelief, they're not God's elect. They never were chosen of God. How do you know that? Because they died in unbelief. God's elect will not die in unbelief. They'll be brought to faith in Christ. A person who thinks that way was never redeemed by the blood of Christ. Where Christ paid the price, there's going to be life. There's going to be a new birth. There's going to be faith. There's going to be repentance. There's going to be the obedience of faith. That's the fruit of Christ's death. You see, my obedience, my warfare against the flesh, my determinations and efforts to serve God do not put away my sins. They don't cleanse me and do not make me righteous before God. Christ does. He's already done that. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses me from all sin. It's His righteousness imputed, accounted, charged to me that justifies me before God. My efforts to obey, my warfare against the flesh, my determinations to do right, that's the fruit of what Christ already accomplished. Not the cause, not the ground, not the condition, but the fruit. And that's why I can walk in newness of spirit, seeking to obey God, not motivated by legalism, legal fear of punishment, mercenary promises of earned reward. You think you're earning your rewards in heaven, my friend? You've got another thing coming if you read the scripture. God doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't owe me anything. He owes all things to Himself. And that's the way of the word. But He says, God forbid. Now, to be the obedience unto righteousness is not obedience that makes me righteous. Now, how do I know that? The context of grace. He's already, listen, it's already been established here in all these inspired words. What makes a sinner righteous? It's not by works. He'd already said that. Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, 19, those who are under the, whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. So therefore by deeds of law shall no flesh be justified. So the obedience unto righteousness is the obedience of faith. It's the obedience of a sinner saved by grace, made righteous by God's grace in Christ, who is serving Christ because he's already saved and secure for glory. Now look at verse 17. Now here we come to the heart of faith. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, do you see what that's saying? First of all, verse 17, he says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, to be a servant of sin is an unbeliever. You understand that? A person who walks in this life, either in a moral way, in a religious way, in a determined way, in a sincere way, trying to be the best person he can be, without Christ, without believing in Christ, without serving Christ for the glory of God, that person is still a servant of sin. Now, that goes against our natural grain, our natural way of thinking. And it does. And that's why the natural... You know, the scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, but they're spiritually discerned. Spiritual discernment is a right way of thinking and judging based on God's Word. So I'm telling you, when I preach to you, I'm telling you what God's Word says. Now, that's not what we naturally think. In order for us to submit and believe God's Word, we have to be brought there by the Holy Spirit. Over in John chapter 3, in verse 19, the Lord told Nicodemus this. Nicodemus was a religious man. He said, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness and hated the light because their deeds were evil. Now, what deeds is he talking about? Well, it's not things that we naturally recognize as sinful, but it's the things that are sinful in God's sight that have to be exposed by the light of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Think about, I often refer to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Well, verse 22, where those stood before the Lord at judgment and said, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done many wonderful works? Well, those are things naturally we think are acceptable to God. But my friend, they're not acceptable if one believes that they make up his righteousness before God. If that's what you believe saves you, your works, your efforts, or makes you righteous, it's sin in God's sight because it's a denial of his glory, it's a denial of Christ, it's a sinner boasting in his works. You understand that? So a servant of sin is a person who's an unbeliever, unregenerate. But he says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. That's your past. You're still sinners saved by grace. That's what he's saying. But you were in unbelief. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now the heart in Scripture is not just the emotions. Many people today, and for whatever reasons, I won't go into, they judge the sincerity or the purity or the trueness of the heart by emotions. Many people in religion judge the presence and power of the Holy Spirit by emotions. But that's not so. That's not the biblical way. The heart in the Scripture is the mind, the affections, and the will. It's the whole person. It's the inner man, Paul called it. It's the very fiber of your being, that which makes you tick, that which motivates you, inspires you, drives you. Now, the heart of the natural man is evil, the Scripture says. Even the religious natural man, even the most dedicated people, whose heart has not been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. You see, we talk about the three R's of salvation. Ruined by the fall, redeemed by the blood, and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Those three go together. Those who fell in Adam were ruined by the fall. Those who are saved by the cross of Christ are redeemed by the blood. And those who are born again by the Holy Spirit are regenerated by the Spirit. Over in Ezekiel chapter 36, the prophet Ezekiel tells the people of God that the brightness of the future that is coming under the with the coming of Jesus Christ in the new covenant has with it the regenerating power of the Spirit to give a sinner a new heart. And that's what we need. That's why Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of heaven. The heart the new heart must be given. And that's what he's talking about here. You've obeyed from the heart. How are you going to obey from the heart? By your own free will? Absolutely not. You didn't know. Listen, if you claim to believe the gospel and follow Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. It was not because you rose above the rest of humanity and cooperated with God. Those who truly believe the gospel have been brought that way by the power of the Spirit in regeneration, given a new heart. And John said in John 1, he said, it's not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So he says, you've obeyed from the heart. That's the mind, the affection. There's knowledge given. But it's not just knowledge in the head. It's knowledge that is written on the heart, where God, the Holy Spirit, convinces a sinner of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and brings that sinner to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance of dead works. And he says that form of doctrine. You believe from the heart that form of doctrine. Well, what was that form of doctrine? Well, that word form is like a identifying mark. It's like a stamp. You've heard of people who are skillful in tool and die. In other words, the die is cast. So it's an indelible mark that identifies those who have a regenerate heart. What Paul called in Romans 2, 28 and 29, the circumcised heart. The cutting away the filth of the flesh. And you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. What was that form of doctrine? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel wherein his person is revealed. The truth, who Jesus Christ is. He's God in human flesh. It's the gospel that reveals the work of Christ, his redemptive work, that is summarized in that phrase, the righteousness of God. A person who's obeyed from the heart stops considering themselves saved, kept saved, recommended to God by their works. Their works will not make them righteous, but they look to Christ for all righteousness. He's the only one who recommends me unto God. And he says that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Now, the way it's translated in the King James is a little different than the original, but what's said here is true, which was delivered to you, which was preached to you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, the Greek also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. If we were to read that phrase literally, here's the way it would go. From the original Greek, it would say, you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which whereto you were delivered. In other words, this is something that God brings his elect people to. He brings them under the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit regenerates them and they obey from the heart. And look at verse 18. He says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You were a servant of sin, following the lust of the flesh, whether in religion or in immorality. He says, you were unbelievers, but you've been made free from sin. Now that word free there means liberated. You've been liberated. Back over in verse 7, he says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. The word freed there means justified. Justified refers to the legal realm of salvation. My sins were put away. Righteousness was established and imputed to me because of what Christ accomplished in my place as my substitute and surety. That was a legal transaction between God the Father and God the Son, Christ on the behalf of his people. Liberation in verse 18 refers to the spiritual realm of salvation. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in a sinner to bring him to faith in Christ, the heart of faith, regeneration, conversion. Bring him to faith and repentance. the legal realm of salvation, being justified in Christ, being made righteous by Him, His righteousness imputed, is the ground of salvation. The spiritual realm of salvation, being liberated by the Holy Spirit, is the fruit of what Christ accomplished. You see the difference? Now, what Christ did on the cross alone makes me righteous before God. What the Holy Spirit does in me does not make me righteous before God legally. But what the Holy Spirit does in me makes me cling to Christ and plead Him as my only righteousness before God. And that's what it is to be a servant of righteousness. It's to be a servant of God, a servant of Jesus Christ, a willing, loving bond slave of Jesus Christ. Serving Him not in order to pay a debt, but serving Him because the debt's already been paid. You see that? Serving Him not in order to attain or even maintain salvation, but serving Him because He attained it and He secures it unto glory. Serving Him not to earn my blessings and my rewards, but serving Him because I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You understand that? Now he says in verse 19, he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. What does he mean by that? Well, he explains it. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. So Paul's saying, I'm telling you these things to motivate you by grace to be obedient servants. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. When you were in unbelief, you had no righteousness in your conscience. But now you're made free in Jesus Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.